Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody can't sleep in my bed.
I don't want nobody but you. Don't want nobody touching me, baby.
Foreclosure.
Okay.
We'll bring the hammer down on your debt by using Thor strategies and tactics.
Okay.
Brother Sharif and Thor will educate you on the consumer protection laws, which will allow you to hammer away your debt. Get ready, reset, and restore with Thor Radio. Radio. Now, here is our own Brother Sharif.
Greetings. Welcome to Thor Radio Network, a.k.a. Truth Radio, a.k.a. Reality Radio, a.k.a. Thor Ministry, a.k.a. Keep It Real About the Debt Collectors. AKA Live Honorably. Today is July 1st, 2014. First and foremost, I always have to give all praises and honors to the Creator, for without Him I am nothing, and with Him I am everything. Thank Him for giving me an opportunity here to be with you here meeting today as a community and common unity. Seems like a very long time since the last time we've congregated here at Thor. I don't know why, it just seems like it's been 2 weeks. Nonetheless, we did miss the Thursday show and the Friday show. We decided to take a break. Had some other obligations to attend to. And we will be reloading our schedule in the next week or two, as well bringing on some different hosts, different entertainment for you, and we look forward to that, so just bear with us. The team is here, Rudy, Layla, Lori, I believe is here. I'm actually trying to DJ while I'm traveling, so I am en route, probably some noise you may hear. So I'm going to let my co-host take over. Lori, Layla, Rudy, are you there?
Yes, we are. Good morning.
Morning.
Layla, morning, right. Well,
the show
is
on
Layla,
you.
Yes, you will give us welcome, welcome.
Okay, Layla. Yes. Layla, if you'll give us all the disclaimer, we'll be ready.
All right, can you hear me clearly? You were breaking up.
Yes,
Rudy.
I can.
Okay,
I can hear
awesome.
You.
Greetings, Thor family. It's a pleasure and honor to be speaking with you today. Just wanted to disclose Thor's disclaimer. Thor is not an attorney or – let me just start over. The information discussed on this show is not and will not be considered legal advice. There are no attorneys, bar members, or any private legal group associated with this show. Listeners are informed to thoroughly research the information provided on the show prior to taking any action. All right, with that being said, enjoy what you're going to be hearing. Please make sure you have your pens and papers and take wonderful, copious notes that you can use and use and use. All right, back to you, Rudy.
Fantastic. Our word for today is missing link. A missing link is a connection, something that bridges a gap, something that you do not have and something that you need to complete a series or to solve a problem. It may be a clear understanding in some instances. At Thor, you are benefiting from receiving the missing link. That link is given to you in the form of informal education, transitional updated information, which constitutes ongoing continuing education. I read someplace, a formal education will make you a living, but an informal education can make you a fortune. And you get that here at Thor with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom that allows you to leverage information for your benefit, information that has been used against you, but now you will turn the table. At Thor, you will be taught the systematic approach to handle your cases against the debt collectors who have violated the law and your rights. While you're engaged in this education, you will learn to collect money due as you maintain your property and your sanity during the attempts of the debt collector to collect on your mortgage, credit cards, hospital bills, and much, much more. This information is invaluable. You are only limited by your very, very own imagination. Again, welcome, everyone. Welcome. Lori, do you have a few words for us this morning?
Just good morning, everyone. I'm excited for everybody to be here. It does seem like it's been about 2 weeks. I'm so with you on saying that, Brother Sharice. It seems like it has been a long time. I guess the thought that I'd like to throw in there, this week, you know, at the end of it, we're going to be, you know, we're going into our Independence Day celebration, and this is a great way for you to learn how to have independence from all those, you know, debt collectors that are out there and all the things that try to keep you down and hold down your spirit as well as your financial freedom. So I would say look at maybe this Independence Day from a new point of view as far as your financial opportunities and your financial binds that hold and keep you. Also with that, maybe I would couple it with, we talk a lot about the FDCPA and how it can help you as far as protecting you in the most simplistic form and not get you all caught up in crazy talks, you know, with the TILA and the RESPA and the UCC 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, getting crazy with that stuff. It's just a really simplistic approach for you to be able to protect, learn, educate yourself, and take the offensive approach with these guys, especially with your foreclosures out there. You know, in the animal kingdom, the small little animals out there, the greatest offense or defense, if you want to call it that, but I look at it as offense, that they have against the large predators is it's not their size or their, their scary presence or anything. They make it very uninviting for a large predator to take a bite out of them. You know, like a frog, for instance, you know, it secretes a poison and it makes an animal, you know, spit it right back out of their mouth. And, that's kind of how I relate the FDCPA. Whenever you just keep poking them with that, it makes you very undesirable to be taking a bite out of. And instead, you're able to turn it on them and take a big bite out of them. And I would ask all y'all to be patient with me. I'm a little sinusy this morning, so I'm sorry I sound like I'm talking through a scuba tube. Back to you, Rudy.
No, you did fantastic. We know that you don't feel well, and we appreciate you being here this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to share some updates with you as usual. Layla has taken the time to go through some things, and she's going to bring us a few updates right now.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make a comment with regard to what we were talking about. As Lori was mentioning, this is as we go into Independence Day here, for those that, take it into consideration, I just wanted to talk about leadership. You are the leader and the master of your own ship, and we all are masters and leaders and captains of our own ship, if you will. Of our lives, our destiny, whatever you want to call it. And one of the things I just wanted to bring up about some characteristics of leadership, those of you who are new to the call, welcome to the call. But those of you who've been here for a while, you know that, we have, are practitioners just like you are, and we've stepped up to the plate and said that we wanted to be able to, not only are we helping ourselves, but we wanted to reach out and help others. So with regard to leadership and characteristics and you being the leader of your own life, your own household, an exceptional leader is someone who's always thinking three steps ahead. So when we hear Brother Sharif talk about, using this method or under that method, you know that he's thinking three steps ahead and outwit who our opponent is going to be out there in the debt collection arena. They're working to master their own environment with a goal of avoiding problems before they arise. So we talk about being on the offense. That's what we just heard, being on the offense. So we want to be able to be proactive so that we know what to anticipate before it arrives and we're ready to move and groove with it. With that being said, and also being a good communicator, that's what Thor does. We aim to bring you good communication that you can use in whatever it is that you're bringing forward for the benefit of a positive outcome. We've been talking, and as you've been in the world, I know that we have people that have credit card issues. We have most of the callers, the people that are listening to this broadcast, we're finding have mortgage transactional issues. I spoke to someone actually Sunday, and then again yesterday. The people that I speak with primarily have mortgage situations. So I just want to bring forward, for the benefit of the majority of the callers, some information that I think that is really, really important for you to know. Before I get into the article, when Thor talks to you about, you know, looking at the assignment. And the assignment is a major contention right now with regarding all of these financial institutions that call themselves mortgage lenders. And we understand that a lot of them in a lot of cases are debt collectors, okay? So I just want to bring that forward. You know, the assignment is the transfer, is the sale of a mortgage from one entity to another. And that mortgage assignment is to be recorded of record. And there's been a whole big controversy that brought about this mortgage debacle with this MERS situation. And Brother Sharif has brought forward that, you know, MERS is no longer in existence. And I do have an article that talks about that, you know, that MERS is not a contender, not with what it is that we utilize when we are using the FDCPA. Clearly, and then for those of you who are new to the call, you know, I have an extensive mortgage background, and I've worked in the arena, and I've worked with the live notes, I've worked with the assignments, I've worked on making sure that we had properly recorded assignments before an initiation of a sale for another entity. That was years ago, but I remember that process. And when MERS was initiated back in the 90s as the entity that would so-called be the pass-through, if you will, for a lot of these transactions that would not only, that would, one, save them money, number two, save them time, primarily save them time and money so that they can transact the sales over and over and over again of these mortgages, we've realized that's really a dead entity. And that is not the way that if you're looking to bring a legal transaction against the alleged mortgage institution. All right, so with that being said, those assignments are not recorded properly, or they're not executed properly, or, you know, there are so many reasons why that particular document may not be perfected properly such that it would make that sale go through. Like if you or I buy a car, if I buy a car from you, we're going to come up with a price, I'm going to pay you money for it, we're going to take the car down to the motor vehicle division, and we're going to execute the documents, we're going to do the bill of sale, and then obviously, you know, that there are those taxes that need to be paid for what we agreed that price will be, you know, and then, you know how we do it, and like, oh, well, I didn't really pay much for the car, or can transfer the car to a family member for free, you know, that valuable consideration piece that we talk about, you know, that could potentially creep up in a bill of sale type situation or whatever we're doing for transferring a vehicle to a family member. You know, those are issues in the assignment arena. So if it's not perfected properly, then that means that the sale behind the scenes did not happen correctly, and therefore that sale would not have occurred, and you would not necessarily be paying the right party. And that's what Thor brings to you in what we call the alleged foreclosure situation. With a mortgage transaction. There is an article, it was just posted yesterday, and this particular article is entitled Legalizing Mortgage Theft. What's the question? Legalizing Mortgage Theft? ULCs. ULC stands for Uniform Law Commission. So this is Uniform Law Commission's paper to electronic home foreclosure procedures Act. Okay, so here we go again. You know, we hear about all these crazy processes that some of us may have engaged in. We hear that some people have gone to jail for some of these processes. We know that they've been closing the loophole on some of these processes. You know, what people were doing two, three years ago, they're no longer able to successfully get these things done because by the time that these entities realize what's going on and they figure it out, then they say, okay, we got to squash it, so they're going to go to some legislation and get something passed so that can't be done anymore. And any latecomer coming in, finding out about it, that tries to do it, whoop, guess what? You've just done something totally out of whack based on the new laws or legislation. I'm not going to say laws, but legislations that have been instituted, and now they're finding themselves in a whirl of trouble. So with that being said, with this particular article, it says, urgent, while you were sleeping in the house that you think you own, flying under the radar is a group of distinguished luminaries, others might call a cable, who are drafting the Home Foreclosure Procedures Act, also known as HF, as in Frank, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, Home Foreclosure Procedures Act, that could affect millions of Americans. They are the Uniform Law Commission. Okay, the ULC, that's the Uniform Law Commission, okay? The ULC, also known as the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws, is made up of 300, okay? The ULC is made up of 300 non-elected lawyer legislators. Okay, so they're not elected. Okay, these are attorneys in private practice, state and federal judges, law professors, and government officials, including from the American Bar Association and the prestigious law schools like CUNY, C-U-N-Y, that's in New York, who are appointed by state governments from all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Okay, so they've got these people who are non-elected, so we think, okay, well, can we go to our congressmen? No, these people are a non-elected elite group of legal professionals that have come together in what I call a mastermind group, if you will, to come up with some ideas that they can pull forward to change and close the loophole concerning assignment. Okay, the UL is a 74-page proposal. If this proposal becomes uniform, okay, so we could be talking about the UCC, okay, Uniform Commercial Code, but uniform, they have it in quote unquote uniform law. It appears to legalize what has always been illegal. Okay, so it appears to legalize what has always been illegal. This proposal could make the fraudulent mortgage practices that contributed to the 2008 economic collapse legal. Okay, last week, Brother Sharif entitled the program, When Are We Going to Wake Up? Okay. I think that's appropriate, especially for this week. I asked the very same question, when are we going to wake up? Okay, we need to wake up. And before I move forward, we were talking about leadership. I was talking to you about leadership and qualities of leadership. One of the things that is really important, we have leaders here and we have leaders there, but it's the organization. It's organized effort. If anything's going to be built, it needs to be built out of factors that enter into the development of power through organized effort. We come together once a week, with whatever issues that we may be encountering or whatever processes, situations that we're working on in our own lives. But we come together here in what we call, common unity to have that energy source, if you will, to help us continue to move forward in the course of the week as we move through the things that we're moving through in our lives. So this is a sense of organized effort. But, when we hear about what the legal system is doing to still instill a
person
upon the people, yes?
Guys, I got to go. I got a situation here I got to deal with. So you guys carry on the show, do a good job, and I'll call you later.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
love
y'all.
Be careful. All right.
Love you too. All right. So when we talk about, you know, organized effort, we're coming together, you know, every week to get plugged into the socket, so to speak, so we can go out and continue on our cause. But, you know, when we hear about this legal profession looking to still, you know, work to oppress the people, something's got to give. That's all I got to say. Something's got to give. I'm going to proceed. Among the Home Foreclosure Procedures Act, among its eyebrow-raising, they're calling it eyebrow-raising proposed legislative changes that are up for discussion, this part is especially priceless. Assignment of mortgage unnecessary. This is saying, they're saying in Section 402 of this proposal, they're entitling it assignment of mortgage unnecessary, which eliminates the need for banks to have original hard copy legal instruments required under the Uniform Commercial Code to be able to foreclose on a homeowner. I'm going to pause it for a second. Go ahead.
Okay. Yep. I was going to say, I think some of this goes back to what I talked about this morning, the missing link. What they're trying to do is bridge the gap with what's missing, and that is the legitimacy of the assignment. On the flip side of that, we're having calls. We're trying to empower and educate people. The thing is, I don't know if people are really understanding and grasping the severity of this entire situation. The assignment is the pivotal point. It is the key to taking your property. So if people, like you said, need to kind of come together, stand up, and sometimes they're coming from way behind the eight ball, get educated to the point of what the assignment really does and what they need to do. One of the things that I've often said is that each person needs to look at their own paperwork and they need to look at their state laws so that they can get a grip on what's going on. Because this bill, so to speak, can slide on by. People will never know it's in the process. And the next thing you know, it's sitting where it needs to be, pretty well entrenched into the laws. And then there's nothing that can be done unless it's done now.
Yes, that's correct. Absolutely.
You know, Rudy and Layla, I have to chime in on this. I love this article that we're talking about today because it does show how, you know, the Slim Shady is going on right in front of us, yet behind us. And, you know, we keep everybody so distracted, and the busyness of, especially in America, the busyness keeps you distracted and not on point and aware of the real news and the real things that you need to be aware of. However, I'll point out this, that people, while they're on this journey of learning how all this unfolds and how it's all going on behind the scenes as far as your assignments and this and MERS and how it all ties in together, I once again want to get everyone to please go down to your county recorder's office and get all the documents concerning your property, property or properties, because there's the crime scene, the fingerprints that are already established. They're already documented, right? And the stumbling block for them, and they're trying to make it a softer landing, right? You know, I think we all are in agreement with that, and they're hoping that you won't be able to catch on to all the ins and outs. It's just like how the lawyers went in and they were asking the FCC the FCC to please, you know, not consider them as debt collectors anymore because they were getting tired of being hammered under the FDCPA. But these assignments and stuff, you know, it's just like in a lot of cases, let's say it was a government-sponsored entity that, as in a Fannie Mae or a Freddie Mac or a Ginnie Mae, that may have gotten a hold of your mortgage in the beginning, and then it appears with the court records that your home was transferred by MERS or to MERS or to a J.P. Morgan or a Bank of America, and it says along with the note, this is transferred, and all that, but you never see anything recorded in the county records as far as like Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and these guys, right? Well, they can't ever go back and undo that. The evidence is already established. It's already there. They can't unwrangle that. So when Rudy and Layla here are talking about this article and the assignments and stuff, it's so important for people to be able to try. And I mean, I know it's a lot to wrap your heads around, but if you can just slowly start doing that and start opening the door to the possibilities and think of everything that they have, everything that they need, and everything you have, and everything you need in order for them to be able to be in a legal standpoint to try and foreclose on you or to take your property, because those things can't be undone. They can't go and unwrangle that stuff, you know?
I think that's very important. There's a list, or should be a list, where people can do like a checklist. Do I have a copy of my note? Do I have a copy of my deed of trust? Do I have a copy of this, that, and the other? And all those things should be, like you said, gotten from the county recorder's office, and if you to have them certified, because this will be the condition in which you got the time, and have the county certify those records. And if you have those in order, anything else that would pop up at some point in time or try to be replaced or whatever, like you said, the crime scene, they can't do it, because you will have in your possession the things you need to turn that situation around or at least do something about it. So I agree with you.
Yeah, the evidence is already all there and established. However, if you're not alert and aware of what the situation is and how to protect yourself, and if you're thinking, you know, with all these different things that they're trying to, like Layla's saying, they're trying to close the loop, you know, and or the appearance of the loop, and to where they're able to just, you know, fly in and you think, oh man, I don't know what to do. That says that. I don't know, or you know, whatever. They can't go back, and I mean the ever popular phrase, the bell has already tolled. It has already been rung, and the evidence is right there, and they can't. You know, the most important thing is it's not only the assignment, and a lot of people talk about like the robo signers and you know all that kind of stuff, which is, as we all know, in the real world is illegal. However, a lot of them have been able to get away with it because a lot of people don't know how to properly defend that. But with that said, you can even forget the robo-signer stuff, and you can just set all that aside. How in the world did you get, you know, how did you get this? Where's the track record from this? It doesn't even make any sense. It didn't come from point A to point B. And the note and the mortgage, when they're assigned or split and they're assigned differently, you know, one's not good without the other. The note is evidence of the debt. The mortgage is just a mere, you know, following of it. It's just in support of it. So they really do jack themselves if you can, you know, kind of get your head around that.
Well, let me mention this too. You know, the handwriting is on the wall. Someplace this week I got riffed of the fact that, wind of the fact rather, that there's going to be a new surge of foreclosures. So anybody who is already in foreclosure or in the foreclosure process, I'm not going to say foreclosure, anybody else should already get those records and have those records in their hand. If you know that it's coming down the pike and you're getting letters and different things like that, you should already be preparing yourself for what it is you're going to do, not wait till the last minute to come to somebody and then need help and want help when you haven't helped yourself. Go down and get your copy of your records. Get those certified if you can afford it. It's not very expensive. Get a notebook. Make a copy of everything that you have and put it in a working notebook. Put it in some type of order. These are the letters from the so-called creditor. These are the letters from this person. And you keep everything in a running order of what's going on. And if you start to look at those as they come in, you'll see discrepancies in different things, and you can make notes of things that are happening. On another note, just prior to the institution getting ready to bring you into a foreclosure process, they go in and they do some type of assignment. They get a trustee. They do the assignment. They do all these things. You should be ready, and as they begin to walk, you should be able to walk with them so that you can get ahead of it, because you have the opportunity with the education that's presented to make a change in your situation. You don't have to fall down and be trampled on because others have already been there. You should learn from the experiences of others, the education is being given, and get yourself in gear because it is coming. There will be another wave of foreclosures. The bottom of the pyramid, so to speak, has already gone away, so they're moving up the next tier and the next tier and the next tier. People, get ready to do what you have to do for yourself.
And in line with that, Rudy, you know, when Rudy was talking about getting the notebook ready, it's really important, and this is true for if you have a debt collection issue that you're another debt collection issue besides the alleged mortgage, is to make sure that you don't put any holes in your papers. You don't write on your papers. You put them in those, you know, those, what do you call those?
Clear slips?
Yeah, the clear,
sleeves.
Yeah, plastic sleeves. You don't write on those documents at all, because those may need to be entered into evidence, and you will have tampered with the evidence if
that's right.
You have marked on it. Okay, so
that's
be careful about that.
Yeah, and keep your envelopes. Keep your envelopes.
Yes,
we're talking about this kind of stuff because sometimes they try and do the Slim Shady with that as well on dating letters one date, and then especially if it's a time-sensitive document, within regards of, we'll use the FDCPA, for instance, you know, if they, from the point of first contact, they're to give you, they're to send you a letter within 5 days. And then a lot of them, what they'll do is they'll pretend like they sent you a letter. They'll date it one day, right, or they'll meter it another day. And they try to get that. So it's really important that way, if you've got conflicting dates or you know, that kind of stuff, that spikes them right back in the head.
That's correct. So basically, you know, the letter and the postmark on the envelope should be the same date. They should be. But that's okay if they don't, because it's better for us, right, Lori?
That's right. That's another violation. That's deceptive. Mm-hmm. Don't be confusing me. You are confusing me. You can't do that. But anyway, Layla, go on with your articles. That's such a great response that you did.
Yeah. Now, if this proposal becomes law, it will make the theft of real estate in America as easy as pushing a button. I just had to stop before I got there because I'm like, this is just unbelievable.
Isn't it? That's crazy.
I'm all twisted up just reading this article. Y'all just don't know. it's slated for discussion during ULC's annual meeting, which is coming up in 10 days, July the 11th. The 17th in Seattle, Washington. So if we have anybody in the Seattle area or anybody close to the Seattle area, this would be a great place to go because guess what? They say a protest is already planned. Okay, so this is a great way to join in on where this is going to be. Let's see if I have any insight on that I can impart as we are reading this.
While you're looking for that, I think the key word was theft. It says theft as easy as pushing a button. We have to realize that the property is being stolen.
Yeah.
Absolutely it is. And I want to reemphasize, as Brother Sharif does quite often, I just have to reemphasize on with saying that you know, like he has tried to impart on people to change their way of thinking. If you think you're in foreclosure, you're in foreclosure. But if it's a debt collector, they no more, think of it like this, they no more have the right to come and foreclose on you than Texaco, gas cars, or Exxon Mobil, or Sears, or JCPenney's is showing up at your door trying to foreclose on you. Think of it like that. JCPenney's better get out of my yard, right? JCPenney's can't be foreclosing on me. They're not the creditor. They're not. They are a debt collector, period. And they don't even have documentation as to how they became the debt collector. And they're reporting on your credit report.
It says, it's July 11th at noon. I'm just going to, and we're going to have it for the recording and the record so people can get this information. It says, we are protesting a national organization of non-elected attorneys drafting state law proposals, specifically Home Foreclosure Procedures Act, a committee of non-elected attorneys elected to write this anti-consumer legislation is riddled with 75% bank and bank services attorneys from across the country. We are meeting at noon on July 11, 2014 at Westlake. We will rally and then march to the Westin Hotel, 1900 Fifth Avenue, Seattle, Washington, 98101, where the national conference is meeting. We intend on surrounding the Westin with crime scenes. I'm sorry, I have to laugh. Okay, I'm sorry. We intend on surrounding the Westin with crime scene tape. I can't even get the words out. Crime
there
scene tape. Okay. Please attend and let the government know that allowing non-elected, in capital words, bank attorneys free reign to write our laws.
Okay, let me stop you right there, okay? In my humble opinion, it's all right to go and riddle the crime scene with the tape and things like that, but I think people need to put together letters to their congressmen and different representatives and let them know that this is not what's supposed to go on, whatever. Because you can riddle a crime scene all you want to. That's not going to stop them from doing what they're doing on the inside. That's a lot like the people who were on the Brooklyn Bridge going against the grain of what they thought, people canoeing up the Chicago River here, there, and yonder, and they still did what they wanted to do. You have to put pen to paper and get that paper where it needs to go to let people know that this will not be tolerated.
You can go to www.house.gov/representatives to get your who your congressman is, because that's who you need to write. You can call on the phone and call them. I don't have any issues with calling my congressman. And I do. On several instances, I will call my congressman for whatever issue it is that I am against and also for. Some things I am for, and I want them to push it through because I'm for it if I totally understand it. But this, definitely. Our congressmen need to be involved, and we need to, like Rudy said, we need to lodge that complaint to them because guess what? They are elected officials, and if they go by and passively let this go through, and we know that they know, then that's where silence is acquiescence, and we can't allow our silence to be acquiescence, not in this case, not in this case at all. So I'm going to go ahead and continue. So get this. This is exactly what the article says. Get this. Section 401 in this proposal, current drafters note, disingenuously claims a mortgage registry does not presently exist, but there is substantial interest in its creation. Thus, the Act contemplates the possibility of an electronic recording system where all notes are electronically generated and where, as a consequence, there is no paper note which might be possessed in order to satisfy the holder in due course requirements of UCC Article 3. I mean, they specify that?
Okay, would you read that again? Read that again for people so they can really hear what you just said.
Okay, I'm going to reread it, and I'm going to make sure I emphasize the way that it should be emphasized, because I was just reading. I'm reading this article along with you guys. I haven't fully read the article prior to talking to you, but it says, get this, Section 401 in HFPA's current drafter's notes disingenuously claims. So they're lying. they're lying about this, okay? But here's what a quote. I'm going to open a quote. They're saying a mortgage registry does not presently exist, but there is substantial interest in its creation. Thus, the Act contemplates the possibility of an electronic recording system where all notes are electronically generated and where, as a consequence, there is no paper note which might be possessed in order to satisfy the holder in due course requirements of UCC Article 3. So they're saying that there's no...
Stop and think about what you just said. I'm sorry. Think about what you just said, okay? No paper note for Article 3. Article 3 is how you're brought into your local court because the property is there and the court has jurisdiction over the property. You're there, and unless you go in and do some kind of magic here, they've got jurisdiction over you. And then they've got the so-called paper note or a copy of the paper note that the attorneys bring in, and there you go, you can be foreclosed on. So if they're going to do away with the Article 3 paper note, then how are they going to foreclose on you? Strictly under Article 8 and Article 9? Through the electronic system, is that what they're saying?
Yeah, they're trying to say that they don't. They're trying to close the loop and saying that that it is. Let's see, where is it at? If a negotiable instrument secured by a mortgage has been lost, destroyed, or stolen, the creditor may foreclose on the mortgage only if the creditor cannot reasonably obtain possession of the instrument if the instrument was destroyed. So they're trying to make it to where it doesn't matter. You don't have to show the chain of title, and they're just trying to sew all that nonsense up, which is what the people who have been able to defend successfully against foreclosure, that's a lot of it that they've been able to slam them on is the chain of title. The judges that are in support or are given the homeowner a fair shake at trial, they have been coming in that you're not, especially in the judicial areas where suits been brought, they're not bringing suit as the real party of interest, and they don't have anything to show the chain of title that would even land them there in that spot. So they're trying to, get out of that whole nutshell.
Well, and in line with that, my mind is just spinning and spinning because, for those of you who have MERS on your assignments, MERS on your mortgage or deed of trust, the whole claim was that there was a registry. I mean, if you go back in time, when all this became, this debacle came about, they were talking about MERS as a registry, all right? So now they're saying that there's no, a mortgage registry does not presently exist. Okay, so what has Thor been saying? That there is no MERS. Okay, so when people are saying, oh, I've got MERS, well, right now you have a clear case because MERS does not exist. Okay, they don't, it's not a holder of notes. They're gone. So that's what this is saying, but they're In my opinion, they're somewhat being facetious about it, and they're using that now to say, yeah, well, before they were saying, yeah, MERS, when MERS existed, it was MERS, and they were the holder in due course. But now that they're not existent, then they're saying that, no, now they're not existent, and therefore, since there's not really a registry, we need to now legally create a registry, because guess what? They created MERS illegally. So now they're trying to find a way to create it legally so that now they can go back in. Hey, Brother Sharif. Welcome.
All right, I'm back. I got a little delay. So, interesting, you was talking about one of the topics I wanted to chime in on.
is the incident with MERS and Freddie Mac, you know, with regards to the state of, I think it's Montana, Washington, and somewhere else. It's funny that a couple of things come to mind when I read that article, which was, it shows you how the MERS system for these debt collectors is just like a video game, that they go in, they push the button, they can mash any document, they can manipulate it, they can craft it the way they want, to say what it wants, and, I mean, they put it in plain sight and tell you, oh, yeah, well, what we're going to tell the system to do is to do this instead of that, and do that instead of this, and send it out this way, and don't do it that way. And these pieces of paper that they're able to manipulate and fabricate is representative of people's real property, okay? And they talk about it as if you're going to tell a video game to shoot a right-hand jump shot as opposed to a left. Also, which was interesting, there was a case that Brother Maynard had shared with me, and he says, Brother Sharif, you have to see this. It's unbelievable. You're not going to believe it. He says, I have a friend of mine that has a foreclosure, and there are 8 assignments. I said, Maynard, you must be counting too much. He says, I'm not lying. There are 8 assignments. I said, I have to see that. That'll be a first. So he sent the documents over to me, and lo and behold, there were 8 assignments. And I want to tell you guys the funny part about this, well, not really so funny, is that the first 3 assignments was done 2 days apart. Okay? 2 days apart. There was an assignment on the first, another assignment on the third, another assignment on the fifth. And then he messed up on one assignment. He sent it to one company. Then they sent it to another. Then they sent it back to themselves. And all of these assignments purportedly was conferring the note and the mortgage. Okay? So I'm speechless, okay, with those type of shenanigans out. 8 assignments, okay, 3 of them in the first week really demonstrates to me and to everyone else that these assignments are not worth the piece of paper they're written on, and additionally, they're not worth anyone's property, okay? This system, again, when you read that article, demonstrates to you that they play around with the system. Anybody with a logon for MERS can go in there and do an assignment. I mean, it's simple as that. It's no rhyme, no reason, no delivery, no FedEx, no certified mail, no proof, no nothing. There is just they go in the system, get a login password, they're a member of MERS, and they can slap around people's constitutionally protected right to own property just with someone having a login and password. That is what our real property has come to, a login and a password, okay? For anybody to do, whether they make a mistake, no problem, okay? They just print another one. Okay, so this is the sadness behind what's going on and who's doing it. And when you read that article, Fannie Mae's telling them, okay, well, you know, you servicers, okay, first of all, when does a servicer
have a right
to do anything? You servicers, and Fannie Mae's not a creditor. So, I mean, I don't know if any of you guys have Fannie Mae listed as your mortgage. So, you know, when you look at it, Fannie Mae is telling, Freddie Mac is telling the servicers to do the assignments in this way or that way, when neither one of them really have,
sounds like they don't have the
authority, at least that I'm aware of, has the authority to issue assignments.
I have some background noise. You know who that is?
No, I thought that was you, actually.
We thought it was you.
Yeah, that's not me.
On their phones, that would be great.
No.
All right, hold on. Let me see. Hold on.
It's gone now.
Okay.
Brother Sharif, are you with us?
Yes. I just hit the button. You know, I'm trying to do this Block Talk DJ thing, so I might have hit someone button by mistake and opened it up.
Okay.
But at any rate, yes, that's what's going on. It's just, you know, it's something funny, but then again, it's not funny the way they're doing these things. And publicizing it.
That's because they're bold in what they're doing, and they know that people don't know, and they'll never be able to say, we didn't tell you.
Right.
That it wasn't published.
You know, I wanted to bring up, you know, Brother Sharif brought up on the Fannie Mae thing, you know, and I'm in full agreement with you on all that. I wanted to bring up, too, with, you know, we educate people on their credit reports as well, and I've got a Fannie Mae, and just as a side note for all of you guys out there, if you don't know, if you have a GSE or a government-sponsored entity, as in Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Ginny, all those guys, you can go to their website and put in, and you should do it anyway, and because you never know what you're going to find. You just never know with these cats out there. They're crazy. But you put it in there, and you should print whatever results you do find. But I wanted to bring up on my credit report, Fannie Mae's been running inquiries every month on my credit report. Right? So you should check your credit reports along with that, because they don't have any business doing that.
Absolutely, they don't. That's where the Credit Reporting Act comes into play, and you know we talk a lot about the FDCPA. That's a foundational aspect for everything that we're talking about. But as we move into the CRA, that's where Lori's coming from, and there are a lot of statutes in there. That's a little bit more steady as we move into the area. But that's what Lori's talking about. And once you delve into that area and realize what's going on with your credit report, not only with your mortgage, but with a credit card company, or they sell credit card debt just like they sell mortgage debt. Now, they, you know, we don't necessarily know that they've done that on a credit card debt or an automobile debt, but they do that behind the scenes, and if it gets into some sort of a collection issue, then we know that they're selling that debt for pennies on the dollar. And if those entities are inquiring on your credit, then they're committing a violation. And that means money, ching-a-ling, ding-ding, money in your pocket. And that's even before you get to dealing with, if you have a mortgage situation, a mortgage transactional situation, that's money that comes to you before you may even get into a court situation concerning your mortgage.
Well, what that really says, I think, is that, again, here at Thaw, the consumer protection laws are what's being shared, but they're intertwined. You just mentioned that they're doing this over here, but they're also doing this. So we have to come together, people, pull up those laws, read those laws, and go back and read your paperwork and see what they're doing to you. They're not only affecting your credit, but they're calling you. There's laws for that. There's laws for how they're reporting the credit. Then you've got the fair debt laws. They all are intertwined.
Right. Absolutely, they are. Absolutely.
And if they're calling you, you know, we haven't even touched on that. If they're calling you, you know, the TCPA, I mean, there are rules regarding how they're taking people to the phone. If they violate that, that's money to you as well.
Well, it's interesting you said that, because there was an article on there about a case of a woman that got a credit card, and she was living with her boyfriend, and she put down the boyfriend as an emergency contact. Okay, that's it, as an emergency contact. So she defaulted on the credit card, and what happened was they begin to call the boyfriend. They live together, so they begin calling the boyfriend. She gave the house number as her phone number, and they begin calling the boyfriend, and they called the boyfriend 132 times over the span of, I believe, it might have been a year.
Nice.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Nice.
A year or two, maybe, okay? So she got tired of it. So she got tired of it, and she went to her consumer protection laws, like we teach you here at Thor, and she sued under the TCPA, and she sued, I think, the credit card company and another company, two companies she sued. And they went back and forth for about a year. Finally, some, you know, cross motions for summary judgments were filed. And the trial court, the district court, ruled in favor of guess who? I'm just kidding. No, in this particular case, they ruled in favor of the creditor, and I could understand it. You know, listen, I'm not, and what's right is right, and if we're wrong, we're wrong. So in this case, I can see them coming to that decision, because it's like she had a credit card, she didn't pay it, she put the number down. So the court was just like, look, I mean, what are they not supposed to call? You know, I mean, you're in default of the debt. You know, so, you know, I can understand somewhat how they came to that decision, but the appellate court came back after they went on, after the creditor went on summary judgment. The appellate court came back and said, not so fast. Nope, we're not having it. Look, she put down the number as a contact, okay, as an emergency contact, all right? Now, they wasn't calling her. They was calling him. He didn't give them permission. And they were saying, you know, that many calls to get somebody to pay, like, over the course of a year. Like, first of all, I believe she sued the creditor and the debt collector, because if the account was in default for that long, they couldn't have been calling for a year on a, you know, account that, you know, is probably closed out. They usually close out those accounts pretty quick, sell them off, and get done with them. But I think she sued the debt collector and the creditor. So anyway, the appellate court came back and said, nah, listen, you know, they should be liable for every bit of the calls. And what happened was the attorney fees for the creditor and I believe the debt collector was like $132,000, just attorney fees. And they were like, you know, and they were crying about that, like, judge, $132,000 for us to defend this lawsuit over, you know, some phone calls. And the appellate court was like, those are just not some phone calls. They were like 100 and something phone calls. And yes, you know, maybe $132,000 is a lot of money, you know, just to defend, you know, an action on some phone calls. But I think you should be liable for X amount of money. And I think she said up to $4,500 a call because of the egregiousness, the willfulness of it. So I have to read the entire case in the order, but I've seen a snippet on there saying that, you know, they may have been liable for up to $4,500 for willfulness because $100-something calls is just, the appellate court was like, that's ridiculous. Like, I don't care who, like, that's abusive. So when you think about the TCPA, I want everybody to understand. $500 for the first call, okay? For the second call, it's $1,500. retroactive to the first call, meaning if they call you two times, they pay $1,500 for the first call, okay? And on up and above becomes willful, and it can exceed from there. That's a lot of money, and that's a lot of money that people usually don't think about, and you need to be understanding that that court said, you know, for the home phone is different, but for a call that costs the consumer, meaning a cell phone, then that's willful, and those damages apply. They should be respected. So the appellate court reversed it. I don't know how much they exactly they gave the consumer, but, you know, I'm going to read it, and I'll update our listeners, you know, on next week or later on this week if we have a call. But, yeah, we got to take you got to take advantage of everything. Look, if they're gonna steal from you, and if they're going to, you know, bend the rules, okay, and if they're going to play these games, and if they're going to, you know, make a law and then, you know, take the law back, you know, all the kind of politics that's going on, then you guys should have your chance to level the playing field or at least get a return on some of your stress. And the consumer protection laws allow that. And overall, I'm seeing the courts respect the consumer protection laws. I really do. Like, on the mortgagor game, I mean, you know, you're on a wing and a prayer, okay, playing that game. But on the consumer protection laws, absolutely. I see the courts being fair as long as you know what you're doing and you're doing the right thing. I see them giving a green light, and they should, and I don't see it changing at all. So, you know, use that. A good mention of that. So go ahead, guys.
Hey, Sheree, okay. don't you think that with that, you know, that what you just stated there, how the courts are being able to get behind that, don't you think that, especially for those judges who do, you know, want to look at it fairly, right, within the four corners of the complaint, don't you think that it not only allows a safe lane for the homeowner to ride in, it also allows the judge a safe lane to ride in, you know, because they're able to really, it's easy language, it's easy for them to support, it's easy for them, especially the older judges that are, you know, dripping with the old school mentality, it's easy for them to be able to rule in the homeowner's behavior whenever you agree it properly. Don't you agree?
It's easier for them to go that route as opposed to the mortgagor route?
Right. It allows them to support you in a way that they, you know, it allows them to freeze without the good old boy society. You know, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing there, Judge Frank? Where, you know, you're rolling again in the, you know, in regards to the homeowner. It's Wells Fargo or whoever.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. I would definitely agree. It's easier, for lack of a better word. It's more understandable. And, again, this is where I say, this is my belief, that for all of you that play the mortgagor game, when you're dealing with a debt collector and not a creditor, and you go into that realm and you want to play Vegas in that realm, that's your fault. I think the courts, so openly and willing to accept what is the truth, this is how you have to think about it, don't think about it as they're accepting an alternative. I don't agree with that. They are accepting what Thor has been pushing is the truth, which is, now you're talking. That's what the court is saying. You're dealing with debt collectors. Bing!
Right.
This is the lane you should be in. Move over. Put your blinkers on. Move over. This is the lane you should be in because they're not who you think they are. So that's what I think it is more than anything, more than them saying, okay, well, no, I think they're saying, which is what I say all the time. I said it consistently. If you want to go on in and play Vegas on a mortgagor game, go ahead and roll craps. All right? But if you come over here and you prove, hey, Your Honor, these are debt collectors. You see that transition right there, that assignment. You see this, you see that, you see, okay. So you agree that, okay, All right? So, I mean, and that's what they are. I agree. See, the difference would be is that they, if they really were trying to stop you from getting remedy either way, they would say, no, they're not debt collectors. They're creditors. Okay? But they're not saying that. They're saying, yeah, they're debt collectors. I mean, for sure. I mean, no doubt about it. Now you guys finally get it. Okay? So I think the courts are fair as long as you do what you should do. For the most part, they're fair. I'm not saying all of them, but I'm saying for the most part, when the type of shenanigans and fabrication of documents and all that kind of stuff, when those type of things go on, they can't ignore it, okay? It's hard to ignore. Like Maynard's friend with 8 assignments, I mean, they should absolutely get filleted under the consumer protection laws. I mean, filleted times 8. For every assignment, they should receive punitive and actual damages. For every single assignment, it's just absolutely ridiculous. That's just a feast waiting to happen if it's done right. So that's it. That's all I have to say on that. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. In reference to that, let me add something, if I may. I'm going back to my pyramid theory of the bottom of the pyramid is corroded and it's moving up. There are judges who are now in the same situation as people who are getting literature because they don't know who they're sending the literature to. There are judges who are also out here in this arena trying to figure out how to save their property, and the part about coming into court and having your documents right and saying that they are who they are and they've broken these laws that are there for us is what's really happening. You can't come in with some other kind of hyper theory about stuff that didn't happen. I didn't get the money. I didn't really sign the paper. The ink disappeared off the paper, all that kind of foolishness. But when you come in there with concrete when you come in there with concrete evidence and you're here to say this is the assignment, this assignment is an impossibility, an operation of law, it couldn't have happened this way, I did this, they're not that, according to the law of the state, the this, the that, the other, then they're going to look at you. But when you come in there with some other kind of shenanigans, you're out the door before you come in the door. It's like a revolving door. You're in and you just scoot around and come on back out because you came in there with the wrong situation.
There's no doubt about it. You raise an interesting point, Rudy, and I've said this to people all the time, okay? The judges, the attorneys, the politicians, your representatives, they all signed the same paper you did, mm-hmm. Okay? And this is why I say, you know, there's no one man that can be elevated over another. The world is made up of hype. And sometimes everybody falls for the hype. Now, these contracts, these mortgages, these deeds and all that was written in, you know, the native language of legalese. And some of us can read it, some of us can't. Well, definitely the Legal Society can read it. And you would think that they would read through it, okay? And you would think that if they're a protected society, which I don't think they are, I think it's a brother and sisterhood, but as far as being protected, no, I think they can get got like anybody else, and I think the bank doesn't give a darn because they would have gave them different contracts and gave the regular people, you know, the messed up ones. But they all got the same contract. They all were exposed to the hype, okay, of getting a house, owning property, and all that. And, you know, and there's a certain group of them that, you know, comes up with these creations to, you know, to take people's property. There was an article written that they're trying to now do away with assignments, you know, trying to say they're not necessary. You know, so the worst piece of evidence they got now they want to make that, you know, unnecessary, you know. I'll tell you a little bit of an update. Brother Amin went to another hearing. It was very interesting. He went to a hearing on a Rule 11 sanctions for a previous sanction that he had filed, and the judge rendered him some financial relief for some mis- doings of counsel and a debt collector. So for several months went by, well, actually 6 months went by without that payment being made. Nobody requested it. The judge ordered it more than 6 months ago. And so he had the hearing and went to the hearing, and counsel was there, which is one of the partners of the firm. Very, very nice, very astute, very sharp attorney. And of course, Brother Ahmed was there with yours truly, probably by far one of the most honorable judges that I've ever heard about. Very honorable, very, very, very honorable. I mean, very. I wish they all were like that. So the interesting thing is that when Brother Ahmed went there was a gentleman there that he knew from his particular group that he manages, okay? He teaches civics and history and things of that nature. And he happened to see him there, and he walked in, and he seen the gentleman there, and the gentleman was up there before the same judge. Okay, and this story should provide some insight to those of you that, you know, do the guru thing. So the gentleman was in there, and he was before that same judge, and I don't know what kind of documentation he put before this judge, but Brother Ahmed said that this judge is always very poised. I mean, he's very in your face, but he's always even keeled. He never gets excited, but he's very poised. Like he tells you, you know, how the cow eat the cabbage, and that's it. But he doesn't raise his voice. He don't get excited. No animation. So he said this particular gentleman that he knew, he went in and the judge was reading his paperwork. Sounds like some of the paperwork, you know, verified motion for the sheep to eat the cow type of stuff. And the judge was just ripping this guy to shreds. Like, I don't know what was in the paperwork Brother Ahmed said, but he said, who wrote this for you? How do you feel like you can talk to me like that? How do you, you know, I'm telling you. I mean, he said he was surprised. I mean, Brother Ahmed said he was surprised that he's never seen his judge get excited. He said, man, you need to get you an attorney. I'm telling you right now, I'm not trying to promote or advertise, but I'm just telling you right now, man, you need to get your attorney, man. Because you come in here with some stuff like that again, you're going to have a big problem, okay? So, you know, it goes about saying that you have to follow the rules. You have to be respectful. You have to study. You have to, you know, do your homework. You have to research. You can't cut and paste. You have to be original. And when you do that and you do it your doggone self, okay, because nobody else can talk better for you than you. A lot of you think you have to, you know, do the here to withs and the therefore shalls and all that. That's absolutely not necessary. And I'm telling you, it's not. But so the judge ripped this gentleman out and sent him on his way, and he bumped into Brother Ahmed, and Brother Ahmed didn't expect him to be there. So you know, Brother Ahmed is very private. So you know, he doesn't brag. He doesn't, you know, he handles his business. Y'all hear him? He's very, you know, he's very good guy, honorable guy, private guy. And so he went into the hearing, and the guy sat there and said, "Well, I'm gonna sit here and." I heard you talking about, you know, your stuff, but now this is an opportunity for me to see, okay? So the guy was like, yeah, let me see if it's like you say it is. So, you know, Brother Ahmed said, okay, well, you know, I can't stop you from staying. So Brother Ahmed went in, and the attorney there, and she's a partner there, and, you know, and the judge was there, and he's always glad to see Brother Ahmed, and he says, how you doing there, Brother Ahmed? He says, great, Judge, how are you? Brother Ahmed said he always feels at home when he's there. He doesn't feel threatened. He doesn't feel nervous. You know, he said no matter what, when he goes in there, that judge smiles at him. No matter what he's doing, that judge smiles at him. And, you know, he said that's the best feeling he's ever had. So anyway, the judge goes on. He says, okay, we're here for this sanction. And he said, now you don't have to say anything. The judge says all the time to Ahmed. He says, I read your stuff. You don't have to say anything. Because, look, we already know. He said, counsel, I'm going to ask you why you didn't pay the sanction that I told you to pay. You know, and her response, just to let you guys know, her reply to the fact that she didn't pay it was, well, Judge, you didn't put a date on there when I should pay it. That was her reply, and I know all of you are going to laugh at that. She says, you didn't put a date on there. And what else she said, and y'all probably laugh at this, and yes, she did say that. She says, well, Your Honor, what I was going to do was I was going to take that money out of the attorney fees when we beat him on his case. Those are the two things she said to the judge on why they didn't pay the sanctions that the judge told them. You didn't put a date, and we were going to take the money out whenever the case was disposed of. When they won, okay, she was going to take those out and cut him the difference. I mean, she was speaking for the judge, for the court, how she wanted to do things. And the judge said, now, counsel, I looked at your response. He says, and I'm going to be honest with you. He said, you about on the one of the best pair of ice skates I've ever seen. And so he said that answer was skating. You look like you were in the Olympics. All right. I'm honest. I don't know how you even put how you were able to come up with something like that. But he went on. He said, anyway, look, what do you want to do? And she came right out. Your Honor, I apologize. I'm wondering if Brother Amin would be able to sit down and talk with us and negotiate and maybe work this out without additional sanctions and I'm sorry and very conciliatory. I mean, very contrite. Okay. And she was, had her head down. She was just like, Judge, please, like, no more sanctions, please. Like, really, And Amin was surprised, and he looked, and the judge looked at Brother Amin, and he said, now, what do you want to do? He said, do you, Brother Amin, that's up to you. I mean, I can rule on it, and, if you want me to, I could. I mean, everything is clear. So he said, do you want to take that money from him? Because he had the check right there. He said, you can take it. Well, you don't have to take it. It's up to you. I can rule. It's up to you. So Amin looked, and I've always taught him to feel everything out. Go with your spirit. It's never about the money. It's never about the money. What we do here at Thor and what everybody else do, it's not about the money. It's about principle. It's about morality. It's about character. It's about the fact that you're trying to take from me, and you're not supposed to. You're tricking me, and I'm not that dumb. It's about principle, and it's always about that for many of you that's on this call. It's about principle. It's about the fact that, you're not going to take the law, try to say it's my behavior Bible, and then you mangle it when you want, steal from me, lie to me, okay, do everything that you can, and then you're going to sit up there and say, well, it's just about the money. For most of you, it's not. The money is satisfying, but it's the principle. So Amin looked, and the judge sat back, and he felt that the judge was sending him a subliminal message to be who he is. And I believe he's always felt that Brother Amin was honorable, and he wasn't doing this for the money. And he's always said that. It's not about money. It's about character. This is about principle. This is about, I have people that's been lying and stealing and putting in fabric, trying to take my properties. My kids live here. My wife lives here. This is my home. Like, where am I going to go? This is what I've put my hard-earned money into. I pay taxes, upkeeping. I raised my kids in here, and you're going to come in here with these lies? So it's not about money. So Amin looked. He looked at the judge. He looked at her, and he said, well, it's up to you. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do. And Amin said, you know what? I'm going to take the check from her. And he said, when he said that, the look of the attorney's face, opposing counsel's face, was like, wow. Like, she just looked like,
wow. And he said the judge sat back and looked like, that's a man. That's an honorable man. That's how you know it's not about money. And the judge said, counsel, I would advise you to thank your creator that this man is honorable because you deserve every bit of additional sanctions for not only not complying with the court, but then your answer, okay? Your answer is still irritating to me. And he says, you know, it would be ridiculous if I had to sanction you again, and trust me, I had all rights to do so, but that gentleman right there is demonstrating it's never been about the money. It's what the judge said. And he said, you keep that in mind. And that was it. Amin said he took his check. She shook his hand. Judge said, thank you. I'll see you next month on another matter. Okay, that's bigger than the sanctions. So that was the outcome. So I'll use that as an example how to remove the emotions out of it, how to stop being retaliatory, stop being angry. When the truth is on your side, I'm not saying that you always win. I'm not going to even say that. But what I'm saying, when you stay focused, stay firm, and make it about your principles, your beliefs, your character, your morals, and not about the money, you're always going to get ahead. That man that's sitting up on that bench in that row, he sees what's going on. He knows that absolutely you got the right to hit a bank in their pocket. That's not what I was thinking he was trying to insinuate. Okay? But Brother Amin is still in the final stage of his battle over his property. And what better behavior to demonstrate to the judge better than not about the money? What about the money? I'm gonna get the money on the next go around. This is about principle. This is about you put in. This is about you lied about every particular way you can. This is about I caught you in every lie that you can. This is about me following the rules. This is about me being honorable in court. This is about me staying up late at night, researching, writing my own stuff, asking for help, coming together as a group, reading the rules, not being lazy. Okay? That's what this is about. This is about honor. This is about restoring, restoration. All right? That's what it's about. It's not about getting angry. It's not about trying to hit him at every time you could. A real man will just turn around and be like, you know what? I'm not going to do it to you this time, because the bigger picture is that I want to win at the end.
Yes.
And I don't want to give you a reason to say anything at the end of this battle other than you did it the right way, Brother Amin. You did it the right way, playing not their game, but the game that's available to everybody. Okay? The law works when you apply the law, you study the law, and you do it appropriately, and it takes a lot of investment, and some of you are lazy and don't want to do it. It takes time. Some of you think it's just something that's like a new pair of jeans, pair of Jordans, that it'll be here today and gone tomorrow. No. What Amin is learning and researching is the consumer protection laws, and the experience that he has taught him to be able to maintain his property, whatever that is, to keep the money in his pocket from going to the wrong party, for him being a victim, like many of you that are listening to this call may be, okay, and whining about it. He took to the books, and his two-year battle has been nothing short of astounding. It's been stressful, but it's been eye-opening. Okay? Amin has an experience that most of you would dream of. And I'm telling you, he can write a book about what he's been through the last 2 years in terms of a foreclosure. I'm telling you, by far. Okay? He has one of the most outstanding stories, front to back, that one can ask for. And y'all haven't even heard a third of it. Okay? It would bring you to tears, the type of work that's been done, the type of time we've spent. And the man will absolutely not have a problem with a debt collector another day of his life. He has no problem with self-esteem. He has no fear of the court because he knows the court, when done properly, is a great place. He has no fear of losing to a debt collector, and he has no fear of a attorney experience, well, not an attorney, a law firm, okay? Because Brother Amin has been up against a firm, firms with an S, all right? And he's still there. Why? Because he's standing on morality and principle, okay? He's definitely not better than them at their skill, at their trade. You think he's a better attorney than the law firm? Absolutely not. That is not what it's about. You're not trying to be an attorney. You're trying to be a consumer. And when people understand that that's what you need to be, a well-educated consumer, you're far better than any attorney. This is what y'all don't get. Be an educated consumer. That's what Amin is. No fancy words. No 40-page. Well, I can't say no 40-page. 40-page of facts. Okay? Because who can testify to the facts? He can. Can a debt collector testify to any facts? Rarely. So can he write 40 pages and it be 40 pages of nothing but pure beef? Yep. If they write 40 pages, it's going to be 99% filler, not beef. So I wanted to share that with you again, and I'm sharing it with you. This is not bragging about Amin. It's not bragging about me, not about Thor or anything else. Again, a lot of these groups out there, a lot of these shows out there, you tune in from the beginning, and at the end, you're ready for a drink, a beer, or skydive because it's so depressing. The sky is falling. The system is corrupt. Everybody's crooked. They're poisoning our food. They're about to steal our land. They're about to throw us in crates. They're about to inject us with, y'all know how it is, okay? So this is something to share with you guys that is positive, that is eye-opening, that is encouragement, that is real. And to give everybody that listens to this call encouragement that if you study, put your mind to it, keep your heart right, keep your spirit right, keep your spirit right. No matter how corrupt you might think a judge is, and that's your opinion, no matter how inhumane you think they are, which is not true, if you go in there with the right attitude, even, let's say, if someone was corrupt, okay, and Rudy would be able to tell you about that, there's some people that just have that spirit and can make the devil be still, okay? So Amin was one of those people to where he has acquired the respect of these attorneys and this judicial system and the clerks that he's met and the friends that he's made, okay? And a judge that would probably fund him going to law school if he wanted to because he just thinks the kid is absolutely great, and he is. He's great because he could have went and, did the invisible signature or my signature created the money or the Patriot stuff or, there is no money or I'm going private. And he'll tell you he subscribed to those things at some point until he met me. And I told him that's paper terrorism, man. That doesn't work. I didn't have to pry it from him. It was common. It was the style to talk that talk. No money and the court system is corrupt and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Attorneys are crooked and, attorneys got a job to do. And their job is to make sure you're on point. And don't get mad at them because they study and you don't. Don't get mad because they went to school 7 years and had to read, phone book size books and you were reading Ebony magazine. Don't get mad at them if they're able to twist your words around and make you forget about your truth and your facts, all right? If they're able to do that, God be with them. that demonstrates that you're not as strong as you need to be, and maybe not strong enough to keep all your money in your pocket or keep your property. Maybe you deserve to be in an apartment. Maybe you deserve to pay a debt collector. When they invest a nickel, pay them a dollar or two, plus costs and fees and taxes and attorney fees and things of that nature. Maybe you are. One thing it will do, once you touch that poverty level from doing it, you'll wake up then. And you'll have another opportunity. Okay? So I'll stop there because I can go on forever, because these type of events, these type of stories are not talked about enough. They're not spoken about enough. It's too much negativity. It's too much, you know, the sky's falling type nonsense. When you can find a way in or you can find a way out, it's always up to you, the individual. So I'll stop there and yield there, but, you know, we still have two more legs on Brother Amen's journey. And I'm going to tell you now, in the spirit of the Creator, we're victorious in that. I already know it. We're victorious. And victories that, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think many attorneys have acquired. And I'm going to go that far because I'm knee-deep in this. And the victories that Brother Amen is going to have are going to be something that everybody would be able to hang on their flag post as an example, as an example of what a court does when you do the right thing, okay? How they're honorable when you're honorable. Not all the time, okay? Not all the time, but listen, I'd rather have the example here at Thor and have Thor be involved massively in it than to hear about it from somebody else or to hear one of these stories that floats around in some of these communities where they went in and told the judge to flip up and down and do 8 jumping jacks and do a split and they're sovereign and, you know, all that other nice stuff, okay? I hear a lot of those things, and I'm just like, these guys are idiots. But I'd rather hear a story like Amen's, which is 100% truth. And you know what? Most people say, no, that didn't happen. And let me share this last thing, and I'll stop. The gentleman that was there that Brother Amen knew, okay, and knows well. I mean, he's a part of his nation. The gentleman had shared with him, once he seen that hearing, he says, Brother Amen, you wasn't lying. And the guy was just mesmerized. He said, you wasn't lying. I witnessed. He says, I can't wait to go back and tell everybody that I, on coincidence, was able to witness you in court getting a check. Okay? Getting a check by coincidence. All right? How many of y'all has been able to do that? How many of you? How many of y'all has been able to witness that? Now, when the gentleman left, he says, you know what? A lot of people didn't believe you, Amen. That's what he told Brother Amen. He said, a lot of people didn't believe that all that stuff you were saying. They just thought you was pumping yourself up. And look, they thought you was just pumping that Brother Sharif up too. That's what the gentleman told him. And he says, really? He says, oh, yeah. A handful or more. They don't believe nothing that you're saying. It's like, yeah, right. Because they're in there doing, you know, putting their butt prints on documents and knuckle prints and signing a stamp, you know, across and putting vinegar and shea butter on the end of the document and folding it diagonally, okay? Okay, he said a lot of people didn't believe him. And Brother Amen was pretty annoyed by that. He said, Brother Sharif, you know, people actually don't believe me. I said, what do you think? Listen to the stories that are out there. Listen to the groups that are out there. Listen to, you know, the kind of rhetoric that's out there. Of course you're going to have a lot of people that don't believe you. But the Creator put that gentleman there that you don't even have to say anything. That's the way God works. You don't have to say anything. That man is going to bear witness. And you didn't ask him to be there.
Really, Amon didn't want him there. Amon didn't want anybody, okay, involved in his stuff. He didn't want anybody mixing it. He didn't want anybody messing it up. He's not a bragging type guy. He's really not. So I just wanted to share that for those of you that may be uplifted or blessed by the story. It works. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, I know it works. I don't try to prove anything. I know it works. But for those of you that maybe had some doubt or just listening to the call for the first time, it's well worth it because this young man is going to get a substantial settlement, and he's going to maintain possession of his property. Now, I'm going to say one more other thing, and I keep saying that. I'm just to show y'all know it when you're dealing with properties. One of the offers that was made was, you know, of course they came back early and said, okay, how about we just settle this and you just keep your property. We'll just do a satisfaction mortgage. I tell him that was coming, okay? And this is our response, and this is his response. This is what I tell people. If I can demonstrate you don't own anything or have an interest in anything that you say you do, okay, that obligates me to pay you something or turn over some of my real property, and I'm demonstrating the fact that you have very little, not as much as I do, or maybe hardly none at all, invested, how are you going to turn around and offer me what you tried to steal as settlement? Do you think I'm an idiot? You think I'm going to let you pay me with what you stole and paid a nickel for? You're going to offer me my dollar as payment to me when you only had a nickel in it. Okay? This is how crazy they think you are. Our answer is absolutely not. You can't pay me with what you don't have. You're going to pay me out of your pocket. Because my family would have paid by being out on the street, maybe in poverty, maybe uncomfortable, maybe in an apartment. No, you can't pay me with something I've more than likely overwhelmingly proved that you really had no entitlement to. So I'll rest there. I'm sorry. Carry on.
That's fine. I want to comment on something, if I may. You said several things, and I think that when we look at the simplicity of the consumer protection laws, and then we go back and we look at the simplicity of the rules of court, people would find out if they would just pick up the book that it's not very difficult to do what you have to do. Like you said, if you write it yourself in your language, you're able to go back in and you're able to talk about it in case somebody asks you a question about this or that or the other. And the thing is, the rules themselves say that they want you to do short, plain statements, not a lot of fancy words, not a lot of run-on sentences, not a lot of it, just short, plain statements. It's almost like reading a Dick and Jane book. And if people would learn to just invest like this brother has done, this young man has done, because I asked him, it was about leaving a legacy and becoming educated. You get your books for your state on your rules and your regulations. Learn what the procedure and the practice is. Look at how you do a pleading, and then put pen to paper and do what you have to do for yourself and your family, because that's your legacy that you have to leave. That's your life experience of what has gone on. And people need to stop looking for a document over here and a document over there, because they have nothing to do with you. These individual situations are like your fingerprint and your eyeball. They're yours. They're nobody else's. And you will have to get in there with both feet, roll your sleeves up, and do what you have to do.
Amen.
I agree. And I love the part where you're saying that keep it like a Dick and Jane book. You know, if you make it complicated, it's going to stay complicated. But if you just keep it simple and easy for everybody to understand, especially yourself, it'll stay simple. That's awesome.
Layla?
That's a beautiful, beautiful story, and it's very, very uplifting. And I think that, you know, it uplifts me. It gives me encouragement. So I would imagine, as we'll hear probably from some of the callers in a little bit, that it really is very uplifting. And the key is empowering yourself, keep getting the knowledge, and moving in power in that knowledge that you have, because that is the key. Knowledge is the only way to accomplish anything that you endeavor.
Let me say this to everybody, for those of you that didn't catch what I was saying, or the second layer of what I was saying. And I want everybody, I'll say it a little bit more simpler, because I speak sometimes in allegory. It's just a habit. What I said was, someone is able to take your property
mm-hmm.
or your debt that they paid a nickel for, okay, use it in a three-card Molly type fashion to see if they can trick you out of it. And if they can't trick you out of it, okay, which is worth way more than the nickel to you, okay, they get to play the game for a nickel. They get to pay a $3 or $4 game with your mind, with your stability, with your economy, with your residence, with your property. They get to play with those substantive things for a nickel. And then when you're able to defend it, they try to turn around and just say, I'll give you a nickel if you just walk away. I'll give you the nickel. Okay? And some of you really think that that's the deal. Okay, you're just gonna give me my property back? Yeah, and I hear people say that, well, I just want them to give me my property. That's all you want? You want them to give you the nickel that they paid to put you through $5 of stress and oppression, and you just want the nickel back. Just the nickel. We need a mindset change, because what it's about is, it's about you looking at things, praying over things, studying things, and looking behind the scenes. They're playing games. When you hear this MERS system, they're playing games with a nickel. Let's say a dime, a piece of paper and some print. What is that at Kinko's? A dime? They're printing worthless paper, and they're taking that piece of paper, not a bar of gold, okay, not silver, not a commodity. They're taking a piece of paper that they can put whatever they want on it, and they're putting you in the street, putting you in debt, putting you in bankruptcy, putting you into poverty with a 10-cent piece of paper and some twisted hearsay words. Now, I don't know if you guys think about life in its totality, but it seems like you would have to work a whole lot harder than that to get a $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $800,000 or $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 debt. Seems like if you went to Vegas, you can play the penny slot machine, but you know all you're going to get from that is a bunch of pennies. They're playing blackjack with a nickel with you. And this is why they're doing it. It's not because they're crooked. It's not because they're thieves. It's because of one reason. You won't read, and you won't educate yourself. You think going to college for 4 years and getting the same degree that 500 people got is going to get you that $100,000 job that those same 500 people want. Meanwhile, you're coming out of school and you're signing contracts every single doggone day. You're going into debt every doggone day. You're looking at some contract and agreement every doggone day, terms and conditions, everything you click on. If you buy an app, you got a contract there, and you're sitting up there wanting to know how to put screws in the engine and get a dollar on your job and bring home 30 cents. Meanwhile, they're taking a nickel, okay, and making $3 or $4 or $5. And then you're mad at them. That's all I have to say. God bless everybody.
I think that was a great summary to let people know, just placing the value on it. Sometimes we don't look at it for what it really is. They have absolutely almost nothing invested in what they're doing, and they're taking your life savings, your legacy, your health, your strength. They're taking everything from you. They're draining you. And we're losing it all because, like you said, we won't pick up a book. We won't study. We won't get in a proper study group of people of like minds. We won't try to understand what's really going on. And there's enough information out here, but this has been going on for a long time, where people will be on the right road and let the other road go the way that it's going.
But Rudy, I disagree with you on one thing, and I love you, and you're my mother. They're not taking anything from you. You're stressed out, okay? You're stressed out because you're looking from the outside in. And you're looking from the outside at what they're doing. Meanwhile, you're not looking at the documentation and the contract that's in front of you. That's one of the ruses that you gurus have. Come get this securitization, all get 500 pages. Come get this title report. Come get this, citizenship stuff here. And just add more documentation, knowing that most of you are not even reading the document that they're reading. So you're going there with some salt and pepper on your document with lettuce and tomatoes, and the judge is looking at the contract and saying, do you not see that little sentence right there that can have you win the case? Like, are you not seeing that? You got to come in here and talk about who you are, your citizenship, and how much power you got, and, your credit, your signature credit. So they're not stressing you out. You're stressed because you won't read. You're stressed because you want to believe that the sky is falling. They're not taking any help from you. You're unhealthy because you won't read. I tell you right now, if I got sick and I was in a hospital, okay, and I knew I was going to be in a hospital for some length of time, you know what I'm going to say? Hey, bring me some books. Bring me that book. Let me catch up on that. So, you understand? Because every day, okay, every day, we're in contract. So they're not taking your health. The Bar Association is not responsible for poverty. They're not, okay? Because at the end of the day, I'm telling you what I would tell every last one of you. The book was there. The contract was there. You didn't read it. Okay, and it only cost us a nickel to put a nugget on the side of your head because you don't read. So if you want to keep losing over a nickel and you're reading everything we're putting up there, then God bless you. They have a bus outside for you to take you to the home.
Taking wasn't the right word, but we are not doing what we need to do to get what we need to get. How about that?
That's true.
Okay.
There's a saying that, you want to hide something from some people, put it in the book.
True.
It's in the book. I mean, y'all have these contracts there for the longest. I mean, some of you were to read some of these contracts, really actually just read some of them that you enter into every day, I think you would absolutely want to knock yourself upside the head. I mean, they absolutely put some outrageous things in contracts because they know that none of you are reading it. I'm serious. It's unbelievable. Sometimes I downloaded an app the other day, and I went and I read the terms and conditions like I do most of the time, and I'm like, hell no. I mean, this app said, well, we can use your contact information. We can read all your emails, electronic communication. We can use this part of your phone. We can pull up the gallery of pictures. Do y'all understand that you are agreeing to basically give up your entire bit of privacy to get an app, to get to get some cable, to get a little credit card? Do you understand that they give you a $500 credit card, but you're signing away about $10,000 in your rights in that credit card, and you're probably signing in that credit card agreement where if you miss one payment, you'll have to pay $5,000 in attorney fees guaranteed? I don't think y'all understand that. I really don't. But let me shut up because I can talk all day. Y'all go ahead.
Well, as Larry has said before, I'm sorry, go ahead, Oi.
I just wanted to make a comment on that because I'm in total agreement with Brother Sharif on the whole statement that he made as far as your contract, especially whenever it's well with anything, but when it's going to your note and mortgage,
if you'll read in your notes and in your mortgage that or your deed of trust, what state you're in, it specifically lays out exactly how your payments are to be applied and exactly what they can collect from you. And then, if you will, request an itemized statement of what's been going on, you know, a detailed accounting of your payment history with whomever, you know, that you're with, that you can make a payment, you know, they'll send you the detailed history of it, and they've got stuff on there like corporate advances and this fee for this and that fee for that. I mean, they've got all kinds of nonsense on there, and none of that is authorized in your contract. These are the very contracts that they're utilizing to, you know, do try initiate a foreclosure, if you want to call it that. But these are the very forms that they're using to put one over on you. And if everyone would slow down long enough and read these, there's a lot of noise going on. Somebody needs to mute.
I think that's Brother Sharif's background.
Sharif, are you there?
Yeah, I think that's his background.
I'm here, but that probably is me with the noise because I am outside. But go ahead. I'll mute out.
I'm having a picnic. Yeah, if everybody will just take and I want to say this too real quick before it slips my head. My head goes really fast and I forget my thoughts before I even get them back out again. In regards to reading, whether it be the statutes or any kind of contract, your note, your mortgage, et cetera, et cetera, when you're reading these things, read them line by line and really think about what these words are saying. These words and these sentences were labored over many, many, many hours by many, many lawyers, and they're not there by mistake. There's not one word, not one sentence, not one period, not one and, but, any, thou, shall, may, can. None of that is by mistake. And if you will take each line and just let it sink in and then set that aside and come back to it again, and I promise you, your perception of what you thought that you had been reading prior in all the years, whenever you've looked at it before, your perception of what you thought was on that paper will change, and you will start really seeing exactly what the rules of engagement are on these things. Anyway,
well,
I just wanted to point that out.
To back you up behind that, again, like you said, if they would look at their papers, if you would look at your deed of trust, the deed of trust never says and you never signed that they could take the house and the note and all the money. What you signed, if you go in and read it, like Lori said, word for word, it said that you will be responsible for the amount that you owe, not that they could take it all. And they're taking it all, and we're letting them do it because we didn't read it. And we didn't understand what we read.
And I also want to say, and although we talk about a lot of, you know, I talk about a lot of different things and make, and for levity purposes, try to put things in more of a humor perspective, but everything is important about life. I mean, it can be your history, your lineage, your status, your citizenship, your bloodline, all of those things. Please don't think that I'm making light of that, because those things are important. I think they're spoke about in ways that are concerning, but everything, because, again, citizenship is a contract, okay? And and I mention that because I want everybody to be aware about how life is not really what you think it is. There was a news story on a couple of months, and some of you may have seen it and some of you may have not. And when you start studying law and studying history and things of that nature, you'll start to understand certain things, not everything, because I tell you, you'll get twisted and you'll get a brain freeze trying to understand the fluid and dynamics of law and legal system and history of the country and things of that nature. You can be here 50 years and not understand it. But there was a gentleman. And, you know, many of – a lot of groups often talk about citizenship and, you know, how you acquire it and, you know, what's foreign citizenship. And there was a man that was he was – I think he was Cuban. And he's about – I think he's about 50 years old now, maybe 50-something years old. He defected from Cuba some years ago when he was 19 or 20, and he crossed the border illegally, all right, and came to this country, and he went in to the military, okay? Now, most of you don't understand that, you know, there are different citizenships and certain oaths and obligations you take to a foreign entity will render you not a U.S. citizen. Okay. Look, I'm not going patriot on you. I'm just telling y'all based on this story, because I watched the story and there was some friends around and many of them just didn't understand it. And I wouldn't have understood it either. Okay? So the gentleman came over here. He was not legal. And I'm speaking about this because there's a lot of, you know, immigration stuff going on and, you know, and all that. And he came over here, crossed the border illegally, no papers, signed into the military. For those of you that don't know, the military is its own, basically, nation, country. Okay? It's a country. You take an oath. You take an oath to a foreign entity, you are a citizen of that particular nation, that particular country. The Vatican, that's their own country. Okay? The military, you take an oath, and you don't get that citizenship back until you're out of the military. So listen to what I'm telling you. The gentleman came over, went into the military. He stayed in the military 40 years. I think he's 60 then. 30-something, 40 years. Retired out of the military. He had military ID, which afforded him the opportunity to get what? Driver's license. Well, yeah, driver's license. He goes, if you have military ID, well, they respect that, right? Why? Because the military is its own country, basically. Has its own citizenship. All right? It's respected. It's part of the United States government. Okay? So the gentleman went on. He was married. All right? All that good stuff back in the days when you didn't have to take down a pint of blood to get a driver's license, or you could walk around with your birth certificate and not a picture, and that was fine, you know. So after he got out of the military, after he retired, he served good in the military. He was a commander, I believe. After he got out, he decided he wanted to travel to somewhere for vacation with him and his wife. All right, so he went to get a passport, applied for a passport, gave his military ID, and Homeland Security came back and said, "Hey, buddy, you got a problem." He's like, what's the problem? I've been in this country 40, 50 years. Served in the military for 40 years. Got a driver's license. Married. Got kids. Put kids through college. I mean, what's the problem? They're like, you're illegal. You don't have citizenship in the United States. You never had it. You crossed the border 40 years ago. You went into the military. Well, that's not U.S. citizenship. That's the military. We have to deport you. Yes, I said they're going to deport him. And he's on TV with his lawyer, and he's sitting there like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand. I got a driver's license. I mean, I've been in the military. I got kids. I got family. I got a wife. What's going on? This is where when you don't understand what important things are, you end up in a situation where The attorney is sitting there, and she's looking like, I'm going to try to fight it. She's not really explaining what's going on. Do you understand? She's not really explaining the citizenship issue. And people are sitting on TV and friends around, they're like, well, what is going on? With how can he be in the middle? You got to drive. This immigration stuff is just ridiculous. That's just stupid. I know they'll fix it and they'll work it out. But I'm saying to myself, no, they're not. They can't fix it or work it out. He's illegal, technically speaking. Okay? So I just wanted to share that story, how for most people on the surface, it seems to be an error. People would say, oh, that's a mistake. They're working out. But we can't depend on anyone else telling us what that error is. We have to know for ourselves what we're dealing with. And that's important. And that gentleman is almost 60 years old, and no one told him, when you took oath to that foreign military, you wasn't a citizen of the U.S. And anybody else that takes an oath to any foreign agency, you relinquish your U.S. citizenship. Now, this man may get deported. He'll be in the red tape for a while. Okay? All because something that he didn't take care of 40, 50 years ago. Some of you are going to have debt collectors coming here any minute. Okay? And you're going to learn that you probably should have read that contract or took a little bit more time educating yourself. But most importantly, I ask that all of you educate your family and your friends and your kids so they make the same mistakes. Thank you.
With that being said, you know, we didn't get to finish this article, and I think this is a great place to just kind of wrap up this article with what Brother Sharif had just spoken about, because that's what, you know, I was about ready to say before we kind of sidebarred from the article. We do need to let our friends and family members and any acquaintances that we have know about what's going on, because even if you're not in a mortgage situation right now, or I'm not going to say right now, I don't wish that on you, but if you're not in a mortgage situation, there might be somebody that you do know that might be in a mortgage situation that's confiding in you, and you can guide them to a store so that they can get educated, or you can guide them to some of the statutes that will help them come out of this situation. You know, where we left off, you know, and Brother Keith had mentioned it, just to tell you what this article says about it, at best, Brother Keith, are you muted out? Oh, I see some background.
Here, do you need me to mute out?
Yeah, because we hear the background noise. You can just chime in if
okay.
You need to. That'll be great. Right. Thank you. At best, you know, these ULC lawyers, and I'm just going to refresh your memory. You know, we were talking about these, you know, these lawyers that are part of the uniform, these elite lawyers and the non-elected legal professionals that are part of this group. You know, the officers of the court and their staffers are woefully misinformed as they are deliberately lying because a national electronic mortgage registry does exist. That's what we were just talking about a little while ago, you know, that they are lying, that this registry has existed. We were told that they're no longer, but what this article says is that it has since the 1990s. It's called MERS Corp, better known as MERS. We just learned through Brother Sharif that it has other names, that they changed their name, so MERS Corp is not the name any longer. MERS has also been accused of being a linchpin of a pre-engineered Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act, also known as RICO, that's the official name. It's a fraud enterprise that contributed to the 2008 economic collapse. Some of these describe MERS as the black hole to conceal mortgage fraud. There's an article in Law 360 that recently reported that Louisiana parishes and Texas counties have urged the U.S. Supreme Court to revive their RICO suits accusing banks of defrauding them and alleging in a filing that they were injured by the banks. What does that sound like? This sounds like language of the FDCPA, because they were injured by the banks for use of the mortgage electronic registration system, a database of residential mortgage servicer information. Just going to let you know, the shareholders of MERS are those big banks like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, the government hybrids, you know, the GSEs that we just talked about, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Also, MERS supposedly does not hold, keyword, in parentheses, close quote, quotation marks, hold. It does not hold promissory notes and has been foreclosing on innocent homeowners for years. Okay, so anybody going down that MERS route, we've been just talking about these different lanes of bringing a case, that's not the way to go. Like it's not the way to go. The FDCPA is the way to go. When we're dealing with it, we heard about Amon Ra's case and how they are giving him much respect for the way his case is being brought forward. So that's a really, really beautiful story in how that's being enacted right now. Let's see. Just wanting to there's an electronic. We were talking about the actual paper document. We were talking about going down to the recorder's office and pulling your documents and getting certified copies of your documents, because we realize that they can enter additional information in at any time, and you want to make sure you have the correct record that's in there. In this article, it says electronic data can always be manipulated. Okay, so remember that. It can always be manipulated. So when they bring these copies in and say, you know, we've got this copy here, we don't know that that's the correct copy. You can't confess to the fact that you signed that. You don't know what they did. We've heard about these cutting and pasting in the back rooms concerning these documents by these institutions and the people that they've employed to do these things. You can't rely on that. And they're clearly saying here that the electronic data can always be manipulated. This individual, his name is Jack Wright. He's studied illegal foreclosures since 1997 and had his house stolen at gunpoint by rogue banks 20 years after his loan was fully discharged, and strongly opposed this proposal that's being initiated. He said, keeping real estate notes on paper, as we were just talking about, as it has been since the first explorer stepped off the boat and forcing judges to accept only the original paper note, is the last defense to protect a homeowner's rights and property from illegal seizure. Removing that last safeguard will give the mortgage industry criminals the perfect tool to steal without detection. That's a quote that he just said. Does it look like some powerful group might be? Go ahead, Rudy.
I was going to say, I think it would be a good idea if we get out to everybody so that they would be aware of what's going on. It's a wonderful read.
And I was going to suggest that. I'll make sure that, that Thor gets, Thor will have this to get it out. So that you can read this for yourself, all right? But furthermore, they're talking about how this powerful group might be trying to replace the scandal-ridden MERS et al., with another electronic mortgage registry, perhaps with something called Uniform Electronic Mortgage Transactions Registry. They're changing the name, that's what they're talking about, to wipe clean the problems and illegal foreclosures that occurred through MERS. Isn't that what we just talked about? You know, how they're looking to reinvent the wheel, looking to close the loophole and make everything else seem clean moving forward so that they can foreclose without detection. Looks like it might be possible.
Can I comment?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If y'all remember, what was that company? One of the paper factories, DocX. It was one of them that well, all of them should be shut down. They're criminal operations, but one of them was sold to an attorney firm. They bought it for some millions of dollars. And I was looking, and I don't know which one it was, DocX or one of those paper factories. And I said,
yeah, it was DocX.
Was
McCarthy
it? And I said,
yeah,
right.
McCarthy.
And they were fined, and some of them went to jail, and then one of the attorney groups or something, I believe, came and bought it. I said, now, how are you? That's like the drug dealers having a crack house, and they're getting busted today, and they sell it to one of the other drug dealers tomorrow. I mean, it just absolutely made no sense. But the reason why MERS continues to live is because people still falling for the banana and the tailpipe trick. They're still thinking there are mortgagees and mortgagors left. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, it's simple as what I've always said. These people are going to – look, you can like fast food. They can tell you they're putting donkey meat in there. As long as the drive-thrus are slam-packed, they're going to continue to be fast food restaurants. So as long as people still go in there, and a lot of these, you know, gurus are, you know, well, you know, guess what? Merce doesn't own the note, you know? So, you know, as long as those whispers are still going around and you're not looking at Merce as Merce is a debt collector, Merce made an assignment after I was in default. That means Merce is a debt collector. That way you give them absolutely no merit at all. If everybody did that, Merce would have been closed. Merce Corp, Merce the Sky, Merce the Umbrella, Merce the Monkey. It don't matter. If everybody was to do what they were supposed to do and look at them for who they are, okay, if a debt collector passes a debt in default to a debt collector, they're both debt collectors. I don't care who one of them are. I don't care if one of them used to be a creditor. If a creditor passes a debt after default to a debt collector, you're a debt collector. You can call it Mr. Merce the debt collector. You can call it a servicer, Mr. Debt Collector. You have to understand who a debt collector is, and most of you don't. Indeed, the legal society really would love Merce live on, because why? Those are billable hours getting up there making all those nice, cute arguments about, you know, how they should have ate the cabbage and what was born because they ate the cabbage, and Merce should have been back in the 1900s, and it's a better system for our future. I mean, come on, how many billions of dollars in legal fees are there made with arguments? With selling to the public how they think things should be in a mortgagee-mortgagor relationship, and that's not what's before you. So that's why these you know, they're going to come up. They probably will let Merce die all the way and bring up a new company, because some people are still over there in that lane. Some of these gurus, some of these groups are still over there in that lane, and as long as they're in that lane, there's still some victims that need to be taken out. So that's all I have to say. I'm going to yield out.
Okay, and I'm closing in. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to comment real fast whenever he was talking about the about MERS, you know, and everybody kind of being in on him, and everybody was making their coin off of it, you know, their money. You know, it is continuing to be, Bill, a great industry. And for those of you who may already be aware and those of you who are not, you'll notice that with the MERS, all the states across the country changed and adopted their statutes to where they're able to do electronic recording, to which, you know, for hundreds of years, that was a very sacred, protected registry. It was a very specific trace that went down, and these guys were well aware. It was a big industry. I know I took it to the DA's office and stuff and sit down and try to talk to them. It was like, we know, we good. And because the county recorders and stuff, they're able to avoid making or using the electronic registry, they're able to avoid paying taxes and stuff. It's a very lucrative business. And don't think that all those guys weren't aware of what was going down. This was a very well-crafted machine that was created. But you just have to learn to navigate within those rules.
Well, they paid $25 billion for each state to be able to
right.
have that say-so.
I wasn't going to go there, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we know.
It was very
yeah,
well.
We know how everything is working out. Thanks for bringing it to our attention, Lori, but we have some billions of dollars. You don't see that big
yeah.
old stadium we're building down there?
Yeah.
You don't see all
yeah,
the nice little pre-police cars that we got out there? And did you see those nice
yeah.
little meters that we got down there? So you have to put $3 in and... Did you? By the way, did you see the new drones that are flying around?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about it. Let us electronically record. It's based on the Paper Reduction Act. We don't want to have to print things.
Shut the hell up and get back in your car, little redhead.
Yeah, and that's what you said.
Thank you for bringing it up. We went over that when they wrote us the $25 billion check. We knew. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, we got that. Yeah, I'll tell y'all, that's a real funny story, too, because I remember that was like in the beginning of my learning about all this noise and all the stuff. And I was just so naive, really, to everything. I was just, wow. And oh, yeah, man, my little red-headed self just marched straight up in there in that DA's office, and I thought I was just bringing him the news of the century now. I even went up and rolled up to the courthouse and rolled up in the county recorder's office and was, like, telling them all about it. We're fixing to just save the counties all around, man. I was having church in there. And they looked at me like I had a baby arm sticking out of my head. They were all like, yeah, we got that. We got that. We go have a good day, ma'am. Thank you. Bye bye. And I was like, huh? Ding dong, the light just came on. It looks like I better be doing some more reading. It's good stuff. Good times.
Yep. Says meanwhile, the deception to conceal mortgage fraud has evidently become a trademark for years. A couple of weeks ago, as National Mortgage News reported, SunTrust agreed to a nearly $1 billion, with a B, billion settlement over the illegal foreclosure mortgage practices and alleged robo-signed mortgages. Big win, right? Some say no. The bankers continue to generate billions of dollars by trading securitized mortgages at lightning speed, so $1 billion is a drop in the bucket for big banks, and these settlements never make the victims whole. What did we just finish talking about? Make them pay. You know, we were talking about Amon-Ra's case, you know, offering the nickel back to him. Just say, hey, you know, we'll give you the property back. You know, we'll do the release of lien, or, you know, we'll transfer back to you for that nickel. No, make them pay, because they're making billions of dollars.
But, again, that's the people's fault, because it does not say that you cannot bring suit against them. People
that's
just
correct.
Are not doing it. And just not
That's
doing it.
Right.
They're not willing to sit down and read what happened, see how they were victimized, look for the law, look for the cause of action. They're not willing to write the short, plain, simple statement of this is where I am, this is what they did, and this is my remedy. They're not willing to do that.
This article was printed yesterday. It was yesterday this article was printed. Okay, so we're talking about now, Tom. We're not talking about a year ago. We're not talking about 2 years ago. We're talking about yesterday. This is what they said yesterday, okay? So, like Rudy just said, we're not standing up and taking action. Not enough of us. Some of us are, but not enough of us. Why are we not? Let's get rid of that fear. We talked about fear last week. We talked about fear the week before. Why? This should empower you. This should empower you. Say, you know what? I'm going to go get mine. And you know, I don't want to make light. You know, I say ching-a-ling, ding-ding. I'm having fun, guys. You know, it is about principalities. I mean, what did they do to you? When, you know, emotionally, we talked about the FDCPA when it talks about why the FDCPA is so important. And the very first thing that it talks about is it talks about how we are how it was designed or why it was designed, because there are abusive collection practices that contributed to the number of bankruptcies that occur, marital instability, loss of jobs, and invasion in individual privacy. And we talked about a lot of that on this call, on this broadcast today. That is the basis of the FDCPA. That's the basis for why the behavior in which they are moving forward and what it is they're doing. We have to stop them. And, yes, there are damages for that, not actual damages, punitive damages. And it's not just that $1,000 that we hear people saying. We're talking about major damages to make, it says right here, I just finished saying, and these settlements never make the victims whole. We're talking about making you whole. You know, you don't want to accept that $5 situation. And then these other practices, that's what's happening. You know, you go down the citizen route or whatever route. And you know, there are some of those that slip through, but the majority don't. So you're willing to settle just to get the house after all the stress and agony and all the issues you went through, in some cases illnesses and disabilities and we're talking about marital instability. I mean, all of those things that you just went through to just get the house signed back over to you, and they only acquired it for a nickel?
I want to say something about what you're saying. I want to tie it into what Rudy said. You know, Rudy said, they're stressing you out. They're, you know, I know we corrected it, but they're taking your health. They're stressing you out. You know, those are actual damages, okay? Emotional distress, malicious prosecution, abusive process, you know, those things are significant. And trust me, there are some people who have really sustained significant damages because of debt collectors and even creditors and what they do. Let me say something to you that I find very interesting and a little bit funny. Brother Imanen went in on a hearing on the first sanction where they sent him an affidavit of debt. And when Brother Imanen went to the judge in the court, he says, Judge, I mean, I've been harmed. I've been damaged. That's the way you're supposed to plead it. I've been harmed. I've been damaged. You know, emotional distress. I mean, I'm anxiety, insomnia. And that's true. Even for Imanen at a point in time, I think throughout, that's true. But this is what I have to say. The court already is going to award you that under consumer protection law, and you don't have to prove it. They already said, look, it's expected that these type of behaviors would cause insomnia and stress and emotional distress, things of that nature. So you don't have to prove the elements. I mean, if you do that, all they got to say is, look, the debt collector did that, and that's what it did. And they're going to be like, okay, gotcha. Send it to the jury, and let's come up with an award. Let me tell you something the judge said when Imanen was there one time. And this is after, you know, been acquainted with this judge for about a year now. Relationship was already built. Things are looking good. He's confident. I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's staying 100% within the four corners of the law, the rules, and his pleading standards. Doing everything right. So Imanen went in for the last time on a sanction motion. And the judge said to him, he said, Judge, these are damages. I mean, I gotta stay up late at night. I have to research. I have to call good friends. I have to deal with paralegals. I gotta go to the library. I gotta look over my paperwork. And he does. He has to do all of that. But the judge turned around and said to him, he says, well, you know what, Brother Imanen, you don't look like you're stressed anymore. You really don't. I mean, you don't look stressed to me. And they both smiled at each other as if to say, the judge says, you got it now. Do you understand? You got it. It's fun now. Do you understand? It's not stressful anymore. It's fun. I mean, and that's what the judge is saying. Then stop playing. You were stressed at some point. But after you see what you can do and see that you're winning, and see that you're beating them hands down,
it's not stress anymore. So, in other words, he said, yeah, I understand, but I don't think you're stressed out anymore at all. And that was very, very funny, but very, very true. If you are stressed and pulling your hair out and they're taking the life out of you, you're a victim. You need to man or woman up. You need to pick up the book and read it, okay? And you need to get with the program because it makes no sense, okay, for you to go through that when all you got to do is read. You're stressed out because you don't know what they're doing to you. You know, some of them are like, well, that's not what it says. You know, they're reading it, and you're not reading it correctly. So you got to understand that, you know, when you know it, it's not stress anymore. All right? When you know it, it's not stress. You can get your stress, your damages now, your actual damages, but not really stressful anymore. It becomes fun. I'll mute out.
And just like last year's $13 billion J.P. Morgan Chase settlement, where the bank admitted it, like every other U.S. bank that engaged in mortgage fraud as routine business practices, no one went to jail. It further goes on to say, and we talked about this earlier when we talked about the documentation in the recorder's office, if there is one faked document recorded in the property records, the chain of title becomes broken and unmarketable. The homeowner's rights are jeopardized. Okay, so, and then they say this is not a bluff. This is one of the reasons behind illegal foreclosures occurring around the country. I'm going to end with this. Okay, talks about, you know, why would the lawyers even consider drastically rewriting the homeownership laws from paper to electronic and potentially legalize any misdeed by the banks? Could it be because countries like Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, the Netherlands, Austria have lost confidence in the U.S. dollar and U.S. paper instruments thanks to the toxic RMBS? Which is previously reported, are bankrupting the pension companies, hurting the economies around the globe, and have put 44 million American pensioners at risk. Pesky paper-proof fraud, electronic records can vanish or be altered with a click of a mouse. So What do you think? Do you think that? Yes? Did somebody say something? So that's pretty much it. You know, that's what they're aiming to do. They're aiming to blot all of this out like it never happened, and they realize that people are standing, people all around the country are standing, and more people need to come to Thor to learn how to make things happen. We're going to make sure that we get this article to you. For those of you who are new to this call, please be sure to email DebtShow@yahoo.com. That's D as in David, E, B as in boy, T as in Tom, show, S-H-O-W, @yahoo.com. So you'll be on the mailing list, and you'll be in the know with what Thor brings to the common unity. With that, I'm just going to pass it back to you, Rudy. It's been my pleasure to speak to you guys today. I pray that this information that we brought forward to you it's really helped to empower you to take the next step that you need to lead yourself and your family on the path of a destiny that you want for yourself. With that being said, peace and blessings to you all.
Thank you. Lori, do you have any departing words?
Sure. You know me. you know, I would don't ask. If you don't want to know, yeah, I would like to say with Layla there, I think she imparted also some really wise words that it may not be upon the whole FDCPA and debt collector and everything in her closing statements there about the U.S. currency. I would say on that the only ones from what I can tell that still values the American dollar is the Americans who are still running up and down the road and watching American Idol. But
Go ahead. I just want to say right quick, and I know you mentioned, you know, not one of the bankers has gone to jail. I don't think any of them should go to jail. Should somebody go to jail for maybe
kicking a dead deer?
Maybe just kicking it and making sure it's dead, or?
No. Why shouldn't they go to jail? All they're doing is kicking dead paper. They're mutilating a dead mortgage is all they're doing by cutting and pasting. And you want them to go to jail for that? No. If you believe that that document has any value, probative value at all, something's wrong with you. They shouldn't go to jail because they're kicking around dead, worthless paper, and you're believing it, stretching yourself out, piling up paper on top of paper, buying every guru packages out there on 10 calls a week, and you're believing that that particular paper is going to somehow fold up into a paper plane and fly you out your property. You're the one that's crazy. It's not them. Don't lock them up. There's some people that just doesn't have anything else to do. And they want to, you know, if they can take a old piece of paper out of county recorder and add something to it and put you on the corner under the bridge, then, man, that's all I'm going to say.
That's right. They do because they can. Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
I'm in full agreement because people are just not aware, and they are creating the turning of the money, the new industries, the new opportunities, and the new all of it, man. It's cruel. It is a cruel world. But that's just the way it is. So you need to get on your game and get your game on too. Just wrapping it up, though, I wanted to make a couple of real quick statements, Rudy. First of all, in regards to the FDCPA, I just wanted to leave a couple of thoughts for people. If you can also maybe incorporate in your thinking and your new ideas with the FDCPA, everyone, whenever people are sending you information in the mail, whether it's in regards to your mortgage or your Visa card or your Home Depot card, you're relying on that information. It's creating your belief. It's creating what you're relying upon for to be true and correct. That is where the behavior pattern starts to come unraveled and tightening around their neck. It's the relationship that you have with them, that you are believing that you have with them, and the documents and the facilitating and the perpetuating of that through different correspondences that's continuing that belief and that information that you're relying upon, creating violations. So with that, I would say that you need to send a debt validation letter to all of those people that are collecting money from you. Just send them a debt validation letter. Let them, validate the debt to you. See what they send back. You might be surprised. Thirdly, I'd like to say, Yeah?
No, go right ahead on.
Anyway, okay. I thought you were going to chime in on that. Thirdly, it's my personal belief that there are no coincidences in this world. I believe it's a magical kingdom that we live in. There are no coincidences. There is no coincidence that you are here today listening to what's going on. There's a reason why you're here, and the reason is you. You're the person that can start the effect of change. So take it seriously. Get a copy of your credit report, creditreport.com, and start disputing. Oh, you have no idea what's going on. Is it to the penny? Is that the person I really owe? Is that the person? Is this? Is that? All of it. And the only way that you're able to trigger the FCRA, which is 1681, is it has to be disputed. It needs to be on there. That's what's triggering those violations. It's $1,000 a month per credit reporting agency. So anyway, get familiar with your FDCPA, your FCRA, TCPA, state laws that correlate with that. And that's it. Everybody have a great week.
Thank you so much, young lady. Brother Sharif, do you want to say anything before I close out?
I just want to say God bless everybody. Thank you for joining us here on another episode of Thor Radio Ministry. I hope everyone has learned something or gathered some information that would be instrumental to you in your understanding. We urge that you study, research anything we've talked about,
spot check us. Okay? Don't take our word for it. Read for yourself. Hoping that everyone is in good health. And more importantly, just thank God for every day that you are on this earth. And thank him every time you take a breath, because life is not promised to any of us. I want to thank my team, Rudy, Layla, Lori, for their outstanding support, for their consistency, for their research, for their personalities, for their femininity. Thank the mother for being one of the true mothers of this earth. I want to thank all the callers. I'm sorry I wasn't able to do the board, so I wasn't able to open up the line and take calls today. We will do that next week. We didn't want to miss another show, but we, you know, I was in transit, and so it just happened to be that way today. But next week we will definitely get to your calls and answers, and we may have a show Thursday or Friday. Just be looking out for your email, and that's all I have to say.
Fantastic. Everybody, we've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed having all of you here, although you were not open and on the board. We do know that you're here. We thank you for being here. I just want to leave one word with you, and that is, remember, a formal education will make you a living, but an informal education can make you a fortune as an educated consumer. See you next time, everybody, and have a happy day. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.